comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people who make them and do not necessarily represent the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or any of its affiliates or advertisers. Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous place we call Earth. Thanks for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. For those of you joining us for the very first time, welcome aboard. I'm glad you're here, and I think you'll be glad as well. I hope you become the next addict to the Kevin Smith Show. Yes, you heard me right. I don't want you addicted to anything else, but this is a good addiction, and I hope you get it. If you're new, you need to know we have a free weekly newsletter, and it's called the K-Files e-zine. Just go over to our website, kevinsmithshow.com, and you'll see the K-Files e-zine button there with red letters, and just click that and subscribe. It takes only a few seconds. You can unsubscribe anytime you want to. I frequently address email that we get, especially if I get several. And, that pertain to the same thing. And I have been getting email having to do with questions about our audio. And so I want to address those. Now, we're making all the adjustments that we can. We're trying to fine-tune it and get the audio settled back in. But you need to know what the situation is. You need to know that it's tied in with another set of email that we got, because across the bottom of your screen, I run a little thing that says, donate to the Kevin Smith Show, and sometimes I mention it, and we have some folks who tune in that are totally and completely out of touch with reality. They get an electric bill every month, they have to pay that, if they have natural gas in the house, they get a gas bill every month. They have to pay for garbage service. It's not any different. Our bills roll around each and every month. And but it's even more than that, and you need to know this. So in answer to those two issues, you've noticed how lately when we receive calls from the audience, it's very difficult to hear them, it's not clear like it used to be. And so, as an experiment, we have tried a different phone system to see if that was it. And we're no longer using, at this point, we're not using the regular telephone company line. I'm using a digital system, and so it ought to be clear as a bell. But it still has a lot of interference and noise and so forth in the background. And so that was partly an experiment to see, was it the phone line or is it this piece of equipment that I've got right here called a digital hybrid? Apparently it's the digital hybrid beginning to give up the ghost. And when it gives up the ghost, you need to know that's $1,400, and that's a cheap one. They run up to around $25,000, but I've got one that it's $1,400. Now, when it goes, you have to understand the phones go with it. Now, I know some of you are going to write and say, "Oh no, you can get a magic jack. You can still have a phone." Yeah, I'll still have a phone, but you won't hear it because that's what puts it on the air. And so I have to think about those things and plan for those things, and I have to plan for things like what happened today. One of the sound cards in one of the computers went down, and I had to replace it. Those things aren't free. We need your help. If you like the show, contribute. If you don't like the show, don't contribute. It's up to you whether it goes on or not. My guest this evening is Dick Criswell. We'll be back right after this. Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network
is supplied by the independent artist from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Alien Seeker News has blasted off and is providing a new and important resource for everyone interested in UFOs, aliens, alien abductions, Bigfoot, Chupacabra, and more. Featuring five of the top UFO radio talk shows, lots of information and articles in free forms, Alien Seeker News has launched on its journey to greatness. Go to AlienSeekerNews.com, register for the free forums, and get the classic Flying Saucers Are Real by Major Donald Kehoe as a free ebook. Join today.
In the galaxy.
It is the Kevin Smith Show, as you just heard. I am the Kevin Smith. I'm your host, and my guest this evening is Dick Criswell. Dick Criswell has been with us before, of course, and he is the founder and director of the International Paranormal UFO Society. They are in the business of looking into and investigating UFO sightings, extraterrestrial sightings, alleged extraterrestrial contact, other paranormal phenomena. Dick Criswell, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's good to have you.
Thank you very much, Kevin. It's always a pleasure to be your guest.
Dick, since we talked last, since we were on the air last, we have talked since then, but since you were on the air with me last time, there have been quite a number of strange reports to come your way, and If the ones that you are at liberty to talk about, if you will, give us a little update. What's happening around the country?
Okay. First of all, we've had several reports from Alaska, around Juneau, Alaska, about saucer-shaped UFOs somewhere in the neighborhood. They're reporting from 21 to 30 feet in diameter. And we got, let's see, I'm looking at my log now. It looks like about 9 reports in the last week. So that's a hotbed up there right now. And I, unfortunately, I do not have a director up there yet. But I have several people that have kept me informed in what's going on. So, and we
now, are these appearing right above Juneau, Alaska, or are they like just in the outskirts, or how is that happening?
No, that's right in, it's right in like the city proper, so to speak. These people are telling me that there's several people spotting them. Nothing in the news, of course, you know. Anything like that. We talked to one state trooper, and he was telling us about what was going on, and he said, "Oh, we've reported them several times." And he said, "What's interesting?" He said, "You never hear it. Only maybe on a local radio show or something like that, but never in the major news."
I am shocked, aren't you?
I'm really at a loss for words when he told me that. I said, imagine that.
Well, it is, you know, honestly, it's a little bit surprising because, I mean, even though we know that's what they're going to do, it's still
flabbergast me a bit because, you know, all of the polls show that people are very interested in this. Every time some news organization reports on it and does it seriously, they get tremendous response from the positive response from the public, and yet they continue this old cut off your nose to spite your face. We're not going, you know, I'll tell you what it's like. It's like, I've used this example before. Have you ever seen little kids, and you're trying to tell a little kid something, and he's being real stubborn, and he'll put his fingers in his ears and say, I can't hear you, I can't hear you, I can't hear you. That's the way the news media is.
Yes, yes, and I know that. And unfortunately, we have an affiliate here that I used to have an in with, a CBS affiliate. And, you know, when you tell them this news, they'll say, well, you know, we heard it, but we don't know that we're going to run it.
Yeah, we know they're not.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah, it's you laugh to keep from, well, not crying, but screaming. It's unbelievable. Now, on the other hand, if Britney burps in public, we're going to know about it.
Or shows her rear end, one of the two.
Well, you know that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, you know, we're going to get the trivial and the drivel, but the big stuff we're not going to get. And I looked before airtime just to see what's going on around the world. And, of course, one of the big stories out of NASA, big story now, is that some of the laptop computers on the space station got a virus. They don't know how that happened. Big story. Meanwhile, over in England, I've got, now this happened July the 26th, that looks like, and there are pictures of this. It's UFOs in a formation, or it is one UFO with several lights on it. Definitely, when you see the photograph, you can definitely say that is not Chinese wedding candles. And then I've got another one here from England. This one is from Creech, St. Michael. And this was on August 27th. And there were a bunch of folks that reported the UFOs over their part of the country. I've got another one here. I believe this one is from today, and this one is from Milton Keynes in Great Britain, and bunches of people over there saw these UFOs, and let's see, want to quote one paragraph. The caller said that families and neighbors were lining the street and were sure the objects were not a plane or fireworks. And so, I mean, you know, around the world it's getting reported. But here in the good old USA, we're getting the drivel.
Yeah, and it's not just UFOs, mind you. The other day when this Russian Georgian thing broke out, I'm sitting here at the computer, and I had just got a call about a gentleman had called me from Kansas City, and I took a UFO report from there. And I get a report from our old friend Kevin Palmer up there. It used to be Iroquois Falls. And he said, are you listening to this? And I said, what are you talking about? And he says, well, Georgia just attacked Russia. And I thought, wait a minute. Something is not right here, because I got CNN on, and I said, huh, there's not even a banner or anything going on. And he says, okay, he said, get close to the phone. He says, I'm going to patch you through. So he gets me to the Canadian broadcast system, and sure enough, they're talking about it. And the next comment that came from Kevin is, and you guys call yourself free?
Way to go, Kevin. Very observant. Yeah, we are, except we have a media that treats us as if we're not. Our media, and I don't want to give too much attention to this, but our media, not all of them, but you can paint with a pretty broad brush and be accurate here. Our media in the United States is way behind the curve on presenting the facts, the truth, and being up to the minute. And they're way behind the curve on that. But because of that, there are shows like this one, and there are organizations like IPUS. And we exist in the vacuum. And, I mean, let's call it like it is. We exist in the vacuum. People want to know, and if it were not for your organization and organizations like it, if it were not for this show and shows like it, people would never know.
Yeah, that's correct. And we had decided that when this was all formed, IPUS was formed, that we were going to actually be a newscast. Break the news when it happened. We didn't care what it was, but we're going to let the people know, you know, when we know something and we know that it has legs, so to speak, and we're going to let them know what's going on. As a matter of fact, when this all broke, I called my father in Lexington, Kentucky, and I said, say, are you watching the news? And he said, yeah. I said, well, what are you watching? He said, oh, there's some fire down here, downtown New York or something that was on CNN. And I said, oh, you're not watching the Russia and Georgia fighting, huh? And he said, what did you say? I told him, and I said, just wait. It will be news here shortly. And he said, oh, no, you're not going to pull that psychic trick on me again, are you? And I said, no. As a matter of fact, I heard it myself. I said, that's why I'm telling you what I'm telling you. And sure enough, I get a call back. This is about 3 hours later, and he said, you were right. And I said, I wouldn't have told you if I didn't know that this was going on.
Well, yeah, and that's a very good example. But this happens, and you know this because you're the director of IPUS. You deal with it all the time. You know this. It happens with UFO reports. There can be 500 people standing outside that see the same thing and describe the same thing. And if there's something on the news about it, it'll be a miracle. And usually what will be somebody from the FAA saying, oh, that was some kind of a weather anomaly.
Oh, yeah. Have you been following this airport thing where they said they got a computer glitch?
I read about that. A computer glitch and caused communications to go down and delayed flights.
Absolutely. Here in Indianapolis, we've been having a problem, but also what we've been experiencing is some UFO activity as well. So,
us about that.
Okay. Well, I got a couple reports from people that live out close to the airport. Of course, you know, when you see lights in the sky at the airport, you know, you just think, well, it's planes, or they've looked at a different angle, or, you know, different things, because planes will look different if you look at them. You know, your vision is blocked a certain way, or, you know, you look up in a tree and it looks kind of hokey. Well, sometimes I take those reports, with a grain of salt, but when I get five or six of them, then I think, well, you know, not everybody's probably got their view blocked. So what they were telling me is they were seeing these things that looked like triangular shapes, only they weren't the big stuff like we're talking about Stevensville. They were talking about things that were probably, they said about 150 feet maybe, which is small compared to what, you know, was in Stevensville. But nevertheless, they said they were spotting them. So it kind of makes me wonder if, you know, maybe that's, they're having some problems that way. But it's not just Indianapolis. It seems like it's the United States wide, you know, that they're having major problems.
Dick, I don't know if you got a chance to hear when I had John Callahan on.
Yes, I did. Uh-huh.
You did hear that?
Yes, I did.
Did you hear when I asked him if a UFO flies right into the radar airspace, will the controller see it? And he said no. And mm-hmm. he explained why. I was flabbergasted. You know why they don't see it? If it's a small one, it'll show up simply as a period at the end of a sentence. It'll just be a dot. That's all they'll see. Okay.
Yes. Now, I didn't understand that, and I had to play that back, you know, after I'd heard him tell you about that.
If it's big, their program has been written to interpret that as a weather anomaly, and it doesn't put it on the controller screen, and it dumps it over into the weather information.
It makes sense. I did not know that was a matter of fact until he said it.
Yeah, and so when the FAA controllers these days, when they say, you know, we didn't see anything on our screen, they're telling you the truth. Because the program was written to dump UFOs into the weather anomalies.
Isn't that cute?
That's cute. So, I mean, you could have one that is making a landing on the runway, and it won't show up on their screen.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, I have other descriptive words for that.
Well, I wonder who designed that. I'll bet you he had a, an imaginative mind.
Well, I don't know. I find that a little bit disturbing. If it is possible, I mean, what they're assuming then, they are assuming that UFOs simply don't exist, or they are saying, okay, we know they exist, but we're going to keep it off of the radar screens because we're going to try and quieten this thing down. Either way, the radar. The traffic controller, air traffic controller, is not going to see it on his screen. The only thing he's going to see will be airplanes that have transponders that are squawking the proper code. I asked John Callahan, I said, so then an enemy aircraft incoming you're not going to see because it doesn't have a transponder. And he said, that's right.
That's just what we need, you know. That's really what we need.
He said the military radar will pick it up, but not the civilian.
Hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me, but there it is. Well, all right, now,
maybe,
yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Maybe that's what happened at 911. They didn't see it coming in.
I don't know. You know, you and I chuckle about this, but the truth is we chuckle because it's so absurd. What can you say? I mean, that's just absurd that you would take something like that completely off the screen for the air traffic controllers. It's just absurd.
It is.
I'm not the source of that information. You heard him say it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I did.
Yeah, and hundreds of thousands of people around the world heard him say it, too. So it's absurd. That's the only word I can think of to describe it. All right, now, these triangular craft that have been seen, now, you said they were seen above the airport?
Yes, or around the airport and some of the, there are little communities around there. They're trying to clean them out, though, so they can expand that airport out there at Indianapolis. But some of the outlying areas were spotting these triangles.
And were they flying in formation, or just one or two by themselves, or how was this?
No, they said that they were a ways up, but it was to where they could actually spot them. They weren't really way far up like a plane would be, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But they were, some of the estimates were like 600 feet maybe.
Oh, that's not far.
No, that's what I'm saying. They were close enough that they could determine what they were.
Mm-hmm. And they were just flat black, or...
The flat black, yes, absolutely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about sound? Any sound coming from them?
No sound.
At 500 to 600 feet, I'll tell you, if you're landing an airplane and you're 500 feet off the ground and have a problem, you're so close to the ground, you're probably not going to recover.
Yeah, that's right.
So, right. I mean, you really are close to the ground at 500 feet. And so these things are not very high, and they are have no sound.
No sound.
What about their speed?
They actually told me that there were some real bright lights on these vehicles. Kind of like an intense spotlight, white light, but so intense that it hurt your eyes when you looked at it.
All right, now were these were nighttime sightings?
Yes.
All right, yes. So how many reports did you get?
I think there was 9. Let me look at my log here. Yeah, there was 9 reports I got. Yeah, one, you know, you can say, maybe he spotted the wrong, you know, maybe he's looking at it wrong. But 9, you know, I pretty well take that serious.
Well, yeah. Yeah, with 9, and you can bet that not everyone who saw it called you. We have to take
a
break.
You're right.
Yeah, we have to take a break. We will return right after this, so don't go away, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
And welcome back. My guest this evening here on the Kevin Smith Show is Dick Criswell.
And I just want to make one quick announcement about the music you just heard during that break. For those of you who are on the internet, now if you're listening to us on a radio station, you probably heard commercials from your area. But those of you who are listening on the internet heard music, and that music was supplied by one of our listeners. His name is Dadumi, and he is a listener in Romania. And we actually once in a while I have on Steel Eye Media Network a Dadumi Hour, and I just play Dadumi music for an hour. Okay, now Dick, these reports, you got nine. You can bet you didn't get everybody that saw it that called in then and reported it. There were probably a lot of people that saw it that didn't call in and report it to your organization. The people that called in and reported it, did any of them report that there was a group of them standing outside? Did they say how many people were with them?
Yeah, one particular guy had told me that the whole family was out looking at him, and he said that there was four adults in his family besides his wife. So he said that they were spotting them, and according to him, they did get some video of it, and I should be receiving that maybe tomorrow.
What about, we know they were silent, but what about speed? Were they just kind of floating across the sky, or did they take off in a hurry? What happened?
No, he said they were just kind of floating, kind of like a blimp would do that, only these were definitely not blimps, he said.
All right. Now, I'll tell you what. Now, I'm changing the subject just a little bit, actually the incident. You remember telling us about, I think it was not last time, but the time before when you were on, about people reporting having seen UFOs in a dogfight?
Oh, yes. That was the Kokomo incident, Kokomo, Indiana, which is about 30-35 miles north of me here. And of course that story was, you know, there was a big sonic boom and all that kind of stuff. But the real story was, there were, I think it was 19, I'd have to look back in my notes, but I think there was 19 witnesses that actually seen these like blue beams come out of these ships, and one of the ships vaporized in the air, and when it did, it just made that big boom. So there was actually a dogfight going on.
Well, I think, I could be wrong in this, but I'm just going from memory. I think that out around San Diego, they had some reports like that as well. And then, I had a guy here on the show, Ed Grimsley. And I don't know, are you familiar with Ed?
Yes. Matter of fact, I was on a show with Ed one night, and I did hear him talk about the dogfights. Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, he talked about it. And in fact, the first time that he witnessed all of these UFOs up in the sky, he was a teenager. He was on a camping trip, and he said that he and all the people that were on this camping trip laid out there under the stars and watched them fight. And he said you could see them shooting beams of light at each other.
Now, he's the guy that's got the night vision goggles, I think it is.
That's correct.
And I just wish that he could find us an outsource or something there that would be a little cheaper than $4,000 for a pair.
Well, yeah, but, you know, night vision technology, if it's good technology, is not cheap. You can get some, you know, oh, they call them night vision binoculars. You can get those for about $300, $400. But the really good stuff is expensive.
I've got one that I bought, I'm trying to think. It was about 5 years ago. And mine's more like a monocular. It's just one, like a regular scope
yeah.
that you could put on a camera. And I think this was before I got my Super Night Vision on my Sony, and you could hook this up. And you can see some really neat stuff, but it's nothing like what he's talking about.
Yeah, now he's got some stuff, he's got some video on his site that you can watch, and you know, it's pretty interesting stuff. And I was trying to remember, I had another guest on, trying to remember now who that was, that said they had seen a UFO shoot something out of it. Yesterday, I was on YouTube and just looking at video, and there is a video of a UFO. It looks like just a big bright light in the sky, but then it shoots a ball of light out of it towards the ground.
Oh, and, yes, I know the one you're talking about. Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. What do you think's up with that, Dick?
I'm afraid to say on videos anymore because there's been so many that have been doctored.
Well, no, I mean the just the event of these UFOs shooting something. What's up with that? What's the war about, and who is it between?
All right, I'll tell you what I was told, and we have to go back to one of my sources had told me that there's a turf battle going on that one group wants our planet for theirs. They think they own us. And he said every now and then they'll get to seeing one that doesn't belong to their fleet, and they'll fire upon it. And he said this is more common than you think.
Who's winning? The people that think they own this planet, or the others that think they don't?
Well, I don't think there was a tally count, and I'm still trying to find out what group it is that's fighting what other group, you know. And I, to this day, I've not got a straight answer on, what alien group it is. And so, I'm not real sure that the party that told me this knows either.
All right. Fair enough. Up in... Now, this goes way back to when you first began coming on the show with me.
Mm-hmm.
But up in, let's go way back, and let's talk about Greenland.
Okay.
You had sent me information about something being blocked out on Google Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some remote viewers that looked at it. You had, I think you had a remote viewer that looked at it. I know I had some remote viewers look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And we've talked about what that might be. And now there is news. In fact, what you told me was that they were, that it was alien intervention, and that they were attempting to help save the polar ice cap. But now... there's news out of Greenland that there's a huge crack developed in an ice shelf up there, and that they think it's going to break off. What do you know about all that, if anything?
I did hear that, but I didn't put much stock in that because the individual that told me that they were trying to save the ice caps kind of gave me a memo to that effect with some people that I had recognized when I was at AlphaCom.
All right, so you don't put any stock in this report from the scientists that there's a new crack, big crack in the ice shelf?
I haven't heard anything, Kevin, from any of my sources. And usually when something like that goes on, they sometimes will tell me yay or nay. I think I even said to this one individual, I said, well, what do you think of this report? And he said, no comment. And usually when this individual tells me no comment, it doesn't have any substance to it.
When you say it doesn't have any substance to it, Are you saying that when he says no comment, that his saying that means nothing, or that the report that he will not comment on means nothing?
No. What he's saying is there's nothing to back that up, is what he's telling me. Now, he even makes little jokes to me, like, you know, if he knows something and he can't tell me, he said, well, I could tell you, but you know what had happened to you. Stuff like that. But he just basically said there was no substance to that report.
Have you had any further information about this alien activity and what they're doing, what's going on there?
Haven't had anything, any updates or anything. It's been kind of just really quiet from that neck of the woods. I have asked about it from time to time when I would talk to certain individuals, and they'd tell me, well, it's ongoing, but it's kind of low-key now.
All right. Well, we've covered a big, broad bunch of territory. Let's get down to some nitty-gritty here.
Okay.
The last time you were on, we talked about 2012. We've done a lot of talking about this meeting that allegedly took place at the United Nations, and I will say reportedly took place. I think it's beyond alleged.
I do too.
The fact that there's supposed to be this program to acclimate the world's population to the idea of extraterrestrial visitation. What do you know about that in terms of, is it going forward? Are they doing it? Where are we with that?
At the present time, there are individuals going in circles. They don't, some of them want to proceed with this Project Blue Beam that I talked about, to try to say that we're being invaded by aliens, and some of them say, well, that's not the right procedure that we need to get out there. We need to proceed a different way. So I think right now, after all the reports that we've had about UFOs, I think some of the powers that be are kind of beside themselves. I don't think they know where they want to go with this.
Well, it could be that they cannot determine it, even if they knew where they wanted to go with it. It may be that this has legs on its own.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. And like I said, we're getting closer to that time that I told you that the 2009-2010 thing that, you know, they're not going to be any question about it. They're just going to show up in mass quantity, and we're going to know that, you know, those powers that told us there wasn't nothing to it had lied to us, which will be a shock.
Well, I've done some remote viewing on this thing, and let me tell you how contact is going to go. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. The way this is going to work, when that mass sighting takes place and they just show up, the way it's going to work is there'll be big, big ships over all the cities, all the major cities, and then one of them in one major city, maybe Chicago, is going to land. A guy is going to get out, and he's going to say, "Hi, we are Military Flares. Take us to your leader." We'll be back right after this.
Yeah.
Kevin Smith here. Do you have your Kevin Smith Show t-shirt yet?
No?
Well, let today be the day you step into the world of galactic fashion. Visit the Kevin Smith Show online store and get yours today. Welcome back. During our breaks, I checked the email, and I got a flash message. I'm going to hold off on that. Just want to let you know, Tony, in Australia, that I got your flash message, all right? And I'm going to hold off on that until the next hour when we open this up for telephone calls. We'll also deal with the flash messages. Let me say to those of you who live outside of the United States or you live outside of Canada, you don't want to make that international telephone call. You can send me a flash message, and there's a link on my site. All you have to do is open my site, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down. You'll see the little blurb about tonight's show. And you'll see a link that says flash message, and you can use that.
Well, what do you think about my remote viewing there, Dick?
Hey, I think you're right on target.
I do. I saw that. They're going to get off the ship. And, in fact, the first one is the one that's going to speak, but there'll be a whole bunch of them get off the ship. And he's going to say, "Hi, we're military flares. Take us to your leader."
I think that's great.
Yeah.
I mean, you know... and the people will probably buy that.
Well, the ones in England, though, now I remote viewed that, and what they're going to do when they get off the ship, they're going to say, "Hi, we're Chinese wedding candles. Take us to your leader."
I like that one, too.
Yeah, going to happen. I saw it. I saw it. I know it's going to happen.
You did say that you got a message from Tony.
We got a message from Tony in Australia.
I do want to announce that he is our newest director on mainland Australia for IPUS. And we very much welcome him to the team.
Well, that's cool. That is cool. I'll read his message whenever we get into the next hour. And I do want to say to those of you who are new to the show, sometimes, you know, people look at the screen and then their eyes glaze over and they say, I couldn't figure out how to do anything. If you scroll down, you'll see in gigantic green letters the studio telephone number where you can call us, all right? And we would love for you to do that in the next hour. Now, Dick, when all of these military flares and wedding candles land, what do you hear about preparations for what we're going to do? How are we going to handle that?
Well, at the present time, I don't think we have anything in place to handle it. That's what we were doing at AlphaCom to prepare for this, prepare for these meetings when they would happen. You know, who speaks for Earth? It sure as heck is not going to be the president, because you know, he only speaks for a percentage of the people.
Well, yeah, and you have some great diplomatic issues too. Like, do you offer them tea, which, of course, represents Great Britain and Asia? Or do you offer them coffee, which represents the rest of the world? I mean, there's big issues to decide here.
besides not getting, let's see, how do I want to put this, being taken out to lunch literally.
Oh, my. You know, I think it's only fair. The other side ridicules and makes jokes about people that research and investigate UFOs. I think it's only fair to ridicule and joke about them a little bit. But the truth is, everyone who ever told that military flare story is going to be running for cover.
Yeah, I believe you're right.
Dick, are we seeing an increase here in the United States? Are we seeing an increase in UFO sightings? I mean, I hear people say that it's on the increase, but you sit at the, I guess you could say, the switchboard and take these reports. Are we having more, or is it about the same?
In the 43 years that I've been at this, Kevin, this thing has exploded. I mean, it's just phenomenal. I mean, I can't believe that it's picked up this much. I mean, we thought we had a lot of activity in the 50s and 60s, but my God, this has just exploded. And one guy just can't sit on this. I mean, I talk to researchers all over the world, and they'll say the same thing to me. They'll say, "Geez, who let the floodgates open?"
And why do you think that is? Why are we now seeing an increase, a massive increase?
Okay. Now, this is just a theory of mine. I don't want anybody to say Dick Criswell said this is etched in stone, because it's not. Just a theory.
Okay.
Okay. And I think that the reason that we're seeing more activity is because of this 2012 thing with the Mayans. I really believe that in my heart.
Are you familiar with a theory that I had Phil Imbrogno on last night, and he's written a book about an interdimensional universe and other dimensional beings, and I don't want to mischaracterize his theory, but this is what I understood of it, that a lot of what we see are not, some of them may be what we classically call extraterrestrial from some other place in this universe, but some of them may be, and he thinks that it's probably the case, may be from another dimension that's just slightly out of phase with us, and that for some reason they have been able, by some means, to pop in and out of this dimension. Do you think that is a possibility, and that the approaching 2012 and passing through the galactic medium may have something to do with the physics of that?
I can give you some firsthand stuff on interdimensional, and I really, really think I never used to put much faith in that, or much stock in that. But I think you and I had talked the other day when I had a visit from a blonde being that was here at my house. He was over 6 foot tall, had long blonde hair, piercing blue eyes, and the interesting thing is I want to say it looked kind of like burlap, the material that he was wearing, like this jumpsuit, but I don't think that that's what it was, but it was kind of a silver metallic looking thing that I couldn't put my finger on it. And I think I had told you about this event.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
It was Tuesday a week ago, I believe, and I was expecting UPS truck to pull up and drop some DVDs on me, and the doorbell rang, and of course my alarm system, my doggies, went to the door with me, and it wasn't the UPS guy. It was this blonde being. And the only thing he said to me, Kevin, was, could he have a drink of water? It was awful hot out there, and could he bum a glass of water from me? And I didn't question this guy. I just turned around and went to my refrigerator and got a glass and I was starting to pour the water out, and it couldn't have been, I want to say, maybe 30 seconds, maybe at the most. And I go back to the door, and this gentleman is nowhere to be found. And I might state that I did not see a car when he knocked on the door or anything like that. And you
ask your neighbors if they saw him, and they said they saw him show up, but they didn't see him leave.
That's correct. I said, what vehicle did he get out of? Well, we never seen him get out of a vehicle. We just seen him walk up to your house.
Wow.
After I got out there, I looked up in the sky and I figured, there's always this possibility, trying to kid myself, because I could not find any way that this being could be there. I mean, other than maybe on foot, and he was just too...
You sort of live in the country, don't you?
Do what?
You sort of live out in the country, don't you?
Not exactly. I live in a suburbia, basically.
Okay.
All right, we have to take a break. We'll be back. When we come back, we'll open the telephone lines for you. The telephone number is 602-539-3316. We shall return.
Most of the great music you hear right here on Steel Eye Media Network is supplied by the independent artists from GarageBand.com. If you hear a song you like, go over to GarageBand.com, look it up, download it. You can even buy the group's CDs, in many cases, right there at GarageBand.com.
Something out of nothing. but you turn me away. Right now is about the time I think that I'm gonna say, if you leave here, please believe, dear, it's the last time, so make up your mind now. I'm tired of all your posturing, tired, oh yes, it's bringing me down. I've heard it all before when you're calling me out.
Get it all. Become a member at KevinSmithShow.com.
We are back. My guest this evening is Dick Criswell, and the telephone lines are now open. During the break, the lines
were lighting up, Dick.
Oh, great.
Yeah, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Hello,
yeah,
caller.
Hi, this is...
Yeah.
This is Ryan in Puget Sound.
Yeah, Ryan.
Yeah, I joined the show kind of late tonight, so I'm sorry if I'm off, a little bit off topic, but I wanted to ask Dick a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Considering the current state of politics in this country, and right now I would imagine...
Okay, you know we're not going to discuss politics.
Right.
Okay.
I wanted to ask Dick if, considering the two candidates, and it's right now it's pretty much at a 50-50... it's a pretty close race. What do you think the state of disclosure is right now? Do you think that it's possible that the team that you worked for when Clinton was in office, do you think it's possible that after the dust settles and after all the political hubbub that's going on right now, all the hoopla gets over with and we finally get back to business, do you think there's a chance that the new president might be briefed on the existence of, you know, by Edgar Mitchell and other folks?
All right. What do you think, Dick?
It won't be by Edgar Mitchell. I can assure you that. But I think it will be way higher up than that. But yes, I do think that will happen. I don't think that there's a way out of this. Whoever becomes president, that they're going to have to face up to this. I hope that we play a big role in that, because before we were told by this general that they wanted to reactivate the team. So I'm still hopeful that will happen.
All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith. Well, they gave up. All right. Mm-hmm. When you call, ladies and gentlemen, and I put you on hold, please. Stay there. All right, 602-539-3316, 602-539-3316 is the telephone number. What do you think the chances are for having the AlphaCom team or something like it reconstituted?
Oh, I think the odds are probably pretty good, Kevin, at this juncture, because I've even been in talks with another source that told me that he's going to push for this, and I think the odds are very good that this will happen. Whoever becomes president, I won't say that it's going to be just one guy or the other. I think that they're going to have to do something.
All right, let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, this is Trey from Atlanta.
Hi, Trey.
Hi. Yeah, I have to agree with Mr. Criswell. I think they're going to have to do something very soon, just for the simple fact that they want to be ahead of the game before they show up in mass quantity, like y'all said, and they want to present it before that happens. That way they'll have some sort of semblance of control and so forth. And, look, in my opinion, I really don't think the aliens care who wins the president down on this little, dot. I mean, if there's really a cosmic war going on,
yeah,
if we elect one president or the other...
Okay, hang on just a minute. I have...
It's going to happen.
Yeah, I accidentally cut you off there as I put another one on hold. But, yeah, I think you're right. They don't care about our politics. And, you know, and I think what Dick is saying is that regardless of who gets elected, this is an inevitability that's going to have to happen.
Yeah, I would think they would want to, you know, handle it themselves instead of, you know, explaining why there's a bunch of ships hovering above our cities. You know, that would be harder to explain then.
What do you think about my remote viewing?
Oh, no, I like that. I think that's a good idea.
Yeah,
I think we need to give them food. We definitely need to give them food.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think when they get off of the ship, they're going to say, "Hey, we're military flares. Take us to your leader."
we're swamp gas. We're flying seed pods. You know, we're all those crazy things they said. Now, look, I'm glad Mr. Chris was on here because I'm going to ask you this.
Okay.
I think I've asked Kevin one time.
Yeah, you have to hurry. I've got other callers.
Okay. Do you think that we would not be really worried about pressing charges for these people who've been keeping secrets if they came out and said, the reason we've been keeping this secret is because we've been building ships to get us off this planet because X and X is about to happen and we need to get off and we couldn't have the economies fail and announce this. We needed the Black Ops money to build all these ships to save all the humans to get them off the Earth. Do you think if we found out they were doing all this to save our butts to get us off this planet that we'll be okay, no problem?
Trey, I'm glad you asked that question. The scenario that you're talking about was in Alternative 3, basically. And if you're not familiar with that, it said we'll do this if this happens, we'll do this if this happens, and so forth. I don't think that they could get out of it that simple. For the simple fact... It goes deeper than that, and what I mean by deeper than that, it goes in for money. I mean, it appears to me that certain people had sold us out, basically, for abductions and things like that.
All right, let's go to the telephone caller. You're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Boy, that's a first. I got put on hold and I was sitting there listening to some pretty groovy music there for a little while.
All right, what's on your mind?
Well, this is Ryan again. I just had one more thing I got cut off. I just wanted to ask one more thing, and that is that, because I brought up the topic of, you know, the whole disclosure deal. But
yeah, go ahead.
As far as the presidential candidate, I wanted to talk about, from one camp, the Obama camp.
No, we're not going to do it. We're not going to do it. We're not going to get into politics.
Okay, but some of the people involved in his thing, you know, one Zindu, I don't know his name, Brzezinski, who happened to be one of the people with the Carter administration that tried to open up to get him more information. Then, of course, there's the Rockefellers.
Okay, all right. You know what's happening? What's happening is you're campaigning, and I can't let that happen, Ryan. Sorry about that. All right, the telephone number is 602-539-3316. 602-539-3316. And we will be more than happy to accept your calls. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
This is Mike from Kentucky.
Mike, you sound like you're about a million miles away, so speak right into your phone and speak loudly for us.
In keeping with this, it's my personal opinion, and that's all it is, that there won't be any revelation by government officials at any time unless there were to be some kind of a scenario like in Independence Day or V.
All right. So you think unless they show up with massive ships above our cities, nobody's going to admit anything?
That's it, because they have too much to lose.
What do you think they have to lose?
Well, they have political power. They have economy. There's a lot of money involved here. And those people who are controlling their world economy are not going to give that up willingly.
What do you think, Dick?
Well, I have always said that they'll have to be backed in a corner to do this, and I think they're going to be backed into a corner, and they will have to say something. So I do think disclosure will come, but it will have to be as a last resort, and I think they know that's coming.
All right. The telephone number is 602-539-3316. It's very, very tempting, since this is the campaign season and big events are happening in that arena, very tempting for us to drift off into discussion of the politics. And one of the questions, of course, that people try to sneak in is, well, which one of these candidates do you think is going to be the one that will make disclosure? But you've already answered that. You've said either one of them, they have to do it. It's going to be an inevitability. So, yes, but now, do you think that it's also an inevitability that an AlphaCom or an AlphaCom-like team would be put together? Is that also an inevitability?
I think that is an inevitability. I think it has to happen. And whether it's AlphaCom or another name, and I don't happen to think that they'll use the same name, because they usually don't when they reactivate something. It's kind of, Kevin,
it may be BetaCom.
Well, it could be. But you know, MJ-12 is defunct now, and it's under another name. That's what I'm saying. It will probably be something different,
yeah.
You know.
All right, let's go to the telephone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Don calling from Phoenix.
You sound like you're calling from Nibiru.
I'm sorry. Same phone line.
Well, Don, I'll tell you, part of that, you know, I've had people write to me and say, in this day and age of digital telephones, it's unconscionable that you're having that kind of a problem with your phones. Well, we now are using all digital, and you hear the problem. So the problem is what is called the digital hybrid, and that is the piece of equipment that takes your phone line and puts it on the air. So it's going. It's dying. And when it goes, we're out of business.
I just wanted to make a comment on something Trey said about the possibility, you know, that they're keeping it a secret because they're building ships to possibly get us off this planet for the doomsday of 2012.
Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, I think if that was the possibility of them building ships, it's not to get us off this planet. It's to get their own sorry butts off this planet and the chosen elite few. I don't think they would ever attempt to try to get us off the general populace off this planet.
What do you think, Dick?
I think Don's on to something there, because I have also heard that scenario. And the other thing to that type thing, you know, if it was that, it would be inevitable that something needs to be done, but and if something major would happen, they'd never tell us anyway, so, you know, until it happened.
Well, I'll tell you what I think would be so cool. If they do that, and of course, we're all speculating on that. We don't know that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
So, but let's speculate for a moment and say that happens, all right? And, you know, the really super rich elite get on these spaceships and leave the planet. Wouldn't it be cool if the new Earth they go to is so primitive that once they land, they all have to go out and gather firewood and dig in the dirt with their hands? Let them be the cavemen for a while. Don, thanks for the call.
Or their food.
Yeah. Maybe they'll land in some Jurassic period of some other planet, and T-Rex is going to eat them. It would just be wonderful.
Poetic justice.
Yeah, but, you know, I laugh about that. I don't think anything like that's going to happen. I don't think anybody's getting off of this planet. I don't think there's going to be an escape. There will be no great escape. I think we'll all ride this ride until the end of the ride. That's not to say there aren't people trying. You know, I think there are probably some groups out there that are trying to figure out a way to escape, but I don't think that'll happen. All right, the telephone number is 602-539-3316. We're talking with Dick Criswell. He is the founder and director of the International Paranormal UFO Society and has been, he's a former member of AlphaCom, above top secret clearance. If you have a question or a comment, please feel free to call us, 602-539-3316. And in this day and age of cell phones and digital telephones, many of you, if Vonage is telling the truth, 2 million of you, already have the ability to make that call without it costing you any long distance at all. Many thousands more of you have Magic Jack, and you have the ability to make that telephone call without it costing you a penny. And the rest of you have cell phones that have nighttime free long distance. 602-539-3316. Dick, Alternative 3 is something that really, when it came out, really shook the world. A lot of people said it was fiction. A lot of people said they think it was real. What do you think?
No, I believe it was real. As a matter of fact, the commentators who were on there said that they canceled the show, but it wasn't due to lack of ratings. It was just after they had shown Alternative 3.
So when they showed Alternative 3, the show got canceled as a result of Alternative 3?
Yes, sir.
And what comment by the network?
The network said that they were moving on. That was the official statement.
That was it. We're moving on.
That was it. It was a really good show.
Yes, and as a matter of fact, you sent it to me. I have it on DVD, and I watch it again every once in a while. It's a pretty scary thing. So you don't find that was like a fictional kind of a mock-up, kind of a spoof?
Well, it was done mocked up like that, but it was based on factual information. And it was told to me that the... remember when they showed the video of them landing on the surface of, I believe it was the moon.
No, it was Mars.
Or Mars, I'm sorry. And they had shown that they had the film and so forth. That was based on fact, according to several different sources that I have.
Well, I'll tell you what, that video, I think, is real video. You know why I think so?
Well, tell me why you think so.
Because back then, everyone believed Mars was just red, 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 and all the pictures showed red, red, deep red soil and a dusty red sky. But in that video, it's just sandy red, like the desert out here where I'm seated, and the sky is blue, which we now know is the case on Mars.
That's a good point, and you are right. It came to mind that I thought it was actual footage as well.
Why did you think it was actual footage?
Just kind of, you know how you have a gut feeling when you look at something, and it looks. Pretty authentic. And when this was done, you got to realize. You know, I know that there's special effects that you can do and so forth, but it was done in a like a believable situation, like that's what would really happen. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but this was 1960?
It's 1960, I think.
60, 61, 60. 62, early 60s.
Yes.
And we didn't have computerized special effects like we have now. We didn't have computers.
That's right.
You know, in the 1960s, We had a at our let's see, 1969, we had a quote computer room at our high school, and do you know what it was? It was one of those old IBM data card readers,
punch cards.
Like. Yeah. And that was the smoothest and the newest and the best computer that was available, and that thing filled a room.
Well, yeah, what you got sitting in front of you would take up a couple rooms if they were using the old-fashioned type stuff.
Oh, yeah. And so back then, when this video was made, it's not video, it's film. Mm-hmm. And you actually can tell that it is film.
Right.
But when this thing was made, it was that we did not have the first of all, there were no computer graphics and programs to do that, and there were no computers to do that.
That's right.
And when you look at that video, I think because if this thing had been done in a studio, Dick.
Mm-hmm.
They would have provided the colors that NASA had always provided to us.
That's right. That's right.
Because that's all they would have known.
Yeah.
But when this thing landed and the cameras are pointed outward and you're seeing Mars, you're seeing a sandy red and a blue sky.
Mm-hmm.
And that we did not know for sure. Really, until Viking.
And that was several years after this.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And so, I've had people tell me all over the place that that's a hoax. Well, maybe. It might be. But it sure doesn't look like a hoax. All right, let's go to the telephone and caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yes, Kevin. This is Steve from Fort Worth.
Yeah, Steve.
Hey. I was going to ask Dick. Recently, I heard that Timothy Good got a new book out, and I haven't read the book, but I consider him one of the finest authors in the UFO field that I've ever read. But I do remember hearing that he had made a comment that there were already that he was making a claim that there was already alien bases on Earth. And already strategically placed, and I could be wrong on this, but I heard this, I either heard it or I read it somewhere, but I just wonder if he could comment on that, and this could be like a precursor to what he's predicting in the 2008 or 2009-2010 time frame.
All right, we're headed into a break in 4 seconds. So let's hold that answer till after the break, and Steve, thank you for the call. Dick, don't forget that question, and we'll get that first up right after this break. All right, folks, we'll be back. Do not go away.
Seems like no one here really knows him. cell phone to remind you it's the 21st century. All that's violence were made before 1983. Like a cannon shot for a guy like me. So far away from reality, ordinary people and the town police ain't hey, Johnny. Behind his beard saying, hey, I'll make you coffee. You drop by sometime. Seems like no one here really knows me. I am a child of another time. I welcome anyone to show me what this modern life is all about. Salute the ones that left us much too soon. In the summer, with a cheer and a smile. And I am feeling happy now.
All right, when we went away for break, we had just had a call from Steve over in Texas, and Steve had a question. I thought an excellent question. That question was, according to Timothy Good, there are already alien bases in place on Earth, and what's your comment on that, Dick?
Yes, I do believe that. I really respect Tim Good. He's one of the really well researched type individuals out there, and I do believe that.
Well, you know, Charles Hall has been talking about a base out in Indian Springs, and you know, he said that there is, according to Charles Hall, there is a base that's out there, and that it's big, and that it was built by our military. I think he says by our Air Force. And given to an alien group for their use.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
What do you know about Indian Springs?
Don't know that much about Indian Springs, but Charlie is a type of guy that is very, very believable. I look for things in people's mannerisms and so forth, and Charlie, I believe that's a true story. Now, I have not seen anything, document-wise or anything to tell me otherwise.
Well, I've met him, and I have talked with him face-to-face, and I concur with what you just said. I find him to be a very believable individual. I didn't see, and, you know, in my former career, I was trained to look for signs of deception. Now, that doesn't mean they can't get past me. They can, but not very easily.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't see any signs of deception.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now, let's say that, by the way, folks, the telephone number, let me get it back up on the screen for you here. The telephone number is, that's on your screen now, 602-539-3316, 602-539-3316. Let's say that the AlphaCom team, under whatever name, whatever structure, is reconstituted,
mm-hmm.
and let's say that you are on that team,
mm-hmm.
what do you envision would be the purpose of it? What is the AlphaCom, or whatever it's called, going to be doing this time around?
I do believe that it will be to set protocols and things like that. What are we going to do if this happens? What are we going to do if that happens? I think it'll be a little different setup than kind of bringing this forward to the American public like we were before. I think it'll be more protocols, because I think this is going to happen in a short period of time.
All right, so it's not going to be so much disclosure as it is going to be policy planning?
That's what I believe, yeah.
Okay, well, let's say that right above major cities, we have these mile-long UFOs like we see in that movie Independence Day.
Mm-hmm.
What do you suspect would be the policy?
Well, I believe there'll be some uniform type of explanation why this is happening. Now I would hope that it would be the truth. And that's what I always wanted with AlphaCom. That's what I told them why I got on the team. I wanted this to be the truth. I didn't want it to be just covered up and be the same old lie that we heard them talk about when they talked about Roswell and different things like that.
Now that you brought Roswell up, you know, we had Edgar Mitchell on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, as he has been saying actually for a number of years, but he's become a little bit more in your face with it, more plain spoken about it. But he said that the Roswell incident was definitely extraterrestrial, and that bodies were recovered, and that when I said, "How are you sure of that?" And his answer was that he sat down at the Pentagon and presented his evidence and was told, "You're right." What do you know about it?
Well, I think he would have been, and this is only, you know, I have not seen any documents to that effect, but I think he would have been in a position to find that out. Yes, I do believe he would have been one of these people that could have found that out real easy.
Have you seen, now, we covered this a little bit previously, but let me just ask you point blank, have you seen documents that verify, documents the rest of us haven't seen, that verify that Roswell was an extraterrestrial incident?
Without a doubt, there is no question. I have seen documents.
And bodies were recovered?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And these are bodies of extraterrestrials, is that what you're saying?
That is correct.
Where are those bodies today?
I believe that some were stored at Wright Field, but I don't think they keep them there forever. So I really, I don't think I got to ask that question, where the bodies were stored, because there was so much that we covered. I think that was something that I wanted to ask, but I just didn't for some reason.
Yeah. Have there been other crashes that you know about for sure? Because you said, when I asked you just a moment ago,
mm-hmm.
if this was, had you seen documents that verified that this was an extraterrestrial incident, you said without a question. Are there other crashes that fall into that same category that you've seen documents that absolutely, without question, have proven to you that this was extraterrestrial?
Yes. Yes, I have. Mm-hmm.
Did you see anything that was disturbing to you?
Other than the fact that they, the way some of the bodies were treated, I did see some notes, kind of like they treated the bodies kind of like dead dogs, you know. No respect. That really bothered me.
Were these, I hate to use the term because, you know, well, I'll just use it and then I'll explain. Were these the bodies of grays? Now, the reason I hate to use that term is because when I say that, there's like, you know, 100 different descriptions of grays that go through people's minds. But were these the bodies of grays or something else?
The Roswell crash was the grays, yes.
And what about the others?
Not all grays. Some were the reptoids. Some were what they call like the orange. Some of them, and you've heard me talk about this before, were the feathered creatures that I call the bird-like creatures.
Yeah, now, you know, that's the one. I had some email where people said, man, I was right with Dick Criswell till he talked about those bird people. But you're saying that there are some extraterrestrials that are feathered. Is that right?
That is correct. Yes.
You know, that's the description of Quetzalcoatl down in South America, Central and South America, the Mayan and the Incas, the Aztec. Quetzalcoatl is, they said a feathered serpent.
Right.
Now,
right.
Have you run across this feathered serpent race of beings?
Oh, yes. That as well, yes.
And tell us a little bit about that, Dick. Who are these beings? Where are they from?
I don't think we got that far in AFRICOM. We were studying different groups, you know, to find out where they come from, and that was one group that I never did find out where they came from. I was interested in that, but I never got any concrete paperwork or anything like that to show where they came from. Now, I had asked, and one of the individuals told me that they come from a star system that we didn't even know anything about, that was way far out in our out towards, and I said, well, how far out are we talking? And they said, like out by Pluto.
Well, that's not too far.
Well, it's not right next door like some of these places are.
Yeah, but Pluto is, you know, is in our solar system.
Oh yes.
And so you're saying that there are some inhabited planets in our solar system?
Oh yeah. Yes, there are.
Now you gotta know, Dick, that when you say that, there's lots of people out there that are saying he just lost me.
Okay, well, I'm going to say this as nicely as I can, Kevin. I'm at the point in my life where I don't really care whether they believe me or not. I'm just telling you the facts.
All right. So there are how many planets in our solar system are inhabited?
There are 21.
In our solar system, we only know about 8 planets, 9 if we count Pluto.
I understand, but I'm not talking about they are calling them planets, but they may not be. They're like star clusters, okay? And there were 21 of those that I had seen in documents.
Wow, I'm confused. Okay, these are star clusters?
Like star systems or clusters.
Okay, so they're not in our solar system.
Yeah, some are and some aren't.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this. Is Mars inhabited?
It was at one time.
What about Venus?
Never seen any documents on Venus, even though... what was the guy's name? Adamski?
Yeah.
Wasn't it Adamski that said there was? I never seen any documents to that effect.
You know, it's kind of interesting. You know, after the show, we show old movies on our internet TV channel.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the, you know, we show old sci-fi movies. One of the things that you pick up on pretty quickly is that not so far back in our history, people were more focused on Venus than they were on Mars. When these sci-fi movies started being made, there were more sci-fi movies being made about a populated Venus than about a populated Mars.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, these days, it's the other way around. There's more about Mars. One of the things about Venus is that it has, surface pressures that we think nothing could live there. And then, of course, you get down to the bottom of our oceans, and there are surface pressures, or there are ocean pressures, that nothing can live there, but it does. It thrives there on the bottom of our oceans.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think that it may be possible, in fact, for, somewhere out there, life to have developed that lives in conditions that we can't imagine. We have to take a break. We'll be back. When we come back from this break, we'll be on Final Approach. If you have a question or a comment for Dick Criswell, you need to pick up your telephone and call us right after this break.
Get it all. Become a member at kevinsmithshow.com.
Be the best telephone boy, she say, when you're coming home, boy. You've been gone for too long, and I'm here all alone. Escape, not today. Today we're gonna get away. I'm gonna sit, go to sit by the fire, darling. I'm gonna sit, go to sing with the band. When the weight of the world pushes down, we go to sit, go. You bring the whiskey, I'll bring the guitar. We'll celebrate our troubles. We'll howl at the moon, singing London homesick blues. Against the wall, redneck mother. Circle the trucks and turn the radios louder. Watch the night stars shimmer. Big escape, not today. Today we're gonna get away. I'm gonna sit, go to sit by the fire, darling. I'm gonna sit, go to sing with the band. And when the weight of the world pushes down me, go to sit, go goodbye. I'm gonna sit, go to sit by the fire, darling. Back on that old dusty road, laughing at nothing really funny. My father, my son, one for all, all for one. We're rolling through, horizon meets the sky so blue. Driving home to my bride.
iPod?
Get K-Pods, the Kevin Smith Show podcast, and take Kevin with you everywhere. Subscribe today at kevinsmithshow.com.
We are on final approach here, and that means we only have a few minutes left in the show. If you have a question or you have a comment for Dick Criswell, you need to call us right now. I want to get to the flash message that we got from Tony, and we'll do that right now. Tony says he hopes you're feeling a lot better now. And he says he's looking forward to becoming a member of IPUS. Keep up the great work, guys. I will be sending Kevin and Dick some recent UFO sightings taking place in New South Wales, Australia, as we speak. All the best, Kevin and Dick. So, what do you think, Dick? Got some sightings as we speak.
As a matter of fact, I'm glad you did bring Tony's name up. I had an email here from a guy in Rhode Island said, "Did I miss the fast blast from Tony?" And you just covered it. That was great.
Yeah, I also got some flash messages that say there's no audio during the breaks. I have no explanation for that because I have not changed anything. And when we go to break, all you see is video that's playing. The audio is still feeding in from the soundboard. So I don't know. I will tell you this, folks. Sometimes people say, well, I can't understand why you have all these computer problems. Well, your computer is not on 7 days a week for 24 hours a day. These computers are, and they have a heavy load. They never shut down, and so things wear out and burn up. And then those parts have to be replaced. If we can't replace them, we can't go on the air. And so that's it. So I don't know why you're not getting audio during the breaks, but we'll see if we can fix it. We'll try. And one of them says, with the last three breaks, I guess that indicates the earlier breaks had audio. All right, Dick, let's do this. What is, right now, for IPUS, the hot topic that you guys are dealing with?
Well, there are several, but the most recent hot topic is UFOs in the Bloomington, Indiana, over Lake Monroe thing that we're investigating right now. And we understand, and I was trying to get up with the guy today to see the video, because he actually says that he has video of aliens on tape, and I definitely want to see that.
He's got video of aliens on tape?
That's what he says. I told him that I definitely had to see that.
And when are you supposed to be able to see this?
Well, I was supposed to see him today, and the problem I couldn't see him today was he works for the city of Bloomington, and there was a scheduling problem, and I'm supposed to talk to him tomorrow.
All right, so it was not a situation where you had it set up and then he didn't show up?
No, it was the city wanted him to do something at the last minute, and they said it couldn't wait. So he does security for the city of Bloomington.
All right, so he says he's got aliens on video. Has he described for you this video?
Yes, he said in one of these videos, he said it was the wildest thing that he'd ever seen, because the head of this alien looked like a squid, and I have never encountered that one.
You know what comes to mind? What comes to mind is in Pirates of the Caribbean, this last movie, you had a squid head pirate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I do remember that.
Yeah.
But I never can recall. Remember, I told you I seen a scrapbook when I was out at AlphaCom, and I have never seen that before.
So the head of this particular alien looked like a squid. Now, what about the others?
He said some of them were the grays that we talk about, and I said, well, are we talking about the 3.5 foot kind, or are we talking the 5 foot, or the, you know, I mean, there's various different ones. There's the hook nose grays, and then you've got various different groups. And he said, well, we're talking about the 3.5 foot type. And he said, also, he has the more human looking ones. And I said, that's the ones I'd be interested in.
So he's got some grays on videotape. How did he say that this is very clear video?
He said it's very clear. Very clear. And I said, well, I've got to see this. Because I said, if you're telling me what you're telling me, you know, this has got to be a first.
Well, yeah. You know, almost all video of UFOs are grainy and blurry and hard to see. Not all of them, but almost all of them. And the very few that we have seen purporting to be aliens, like the one from Mexico.
Right.
You know, where the kids are playing with a soccer ball and one reaches out from behind, it looks like a telephone pole or a utility pole, and touches
right.
the kid. That was done with a cell phone, and the resolution is awful. But that's what it, you know, it appears to be a gray.
Right.
That reaches out and touches him. But this guy is saying he's got some really good, clear video. Is that right?
That's what he's telling me. Now, I have not seen anything, and he hasn't sent me anything. I told him, I said, just bring the tape here, and you know, we'll look at it, and I'll make you some DVDs as long as I can have some as well. The other thing he tells me is these aliens, and you had a guy on the other night, Michael Horn,
yeah.
Who talked about Billy Myers, and you know how Billy had talked about these aliens had told him how to position his camera so he could get these good shots of these UFOs. That's exactly what this guy's telling me. He tells me that they tell him exactly how to set the camera up and where to set them up. So he captures them on film. So I've got to see this.
What's your impression of it right now? Do you have an impression?
Well, I checked this guy out. You know, you do your due diligence work. I checked this guy, and he says that, you know, where he worked and so forth, and he had some other people that I referenced, and so far... I find this guy to be very believable. And there's nothing that he has told me that I have found in some of the detective work that I have not found anything that would dissuade me to believe that he was anything other than what he presented. But, you know, we'll see what this video looks like.
Dick, when you get this video, will you share a snippet on this show with us?
Yes, sir, I will. Mm-hmm. Yes,
you know,
I
would not expect you to show all of it, although if you want to, we certainly will play it.
Okay.
But if you can share, you know, a few seconds of it where we can get a glimpse of what this is,
sure.
That would be fantastic, especially the squid head.
Well, that's the one I'm looking forward to seeing, since I didn't see any of those in the scrapbook. This is a new one on me.
You know what's going to happen if they land and they have squid heads? What's going to happen is that will become politically incorrect to say that, and we won't be able to call them squid heads anymore. Dick, I want to thank you for being with us on the show. Folks, you want to get over to IPUSNetwork.com. That's the place to go. Dick, stay on the line with me for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the end of the show.
So it's time for me to say, my friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.